as also older devotees. There's a very interesting social theory which I feel holds true and is extremely relevant. This theory is around the expression of coherence. Coherence is maybe not yet a very well-known word. It means there is a maximum of diversity in a system while at the same time being connected in one purpose. For instance, the physical system. When it is a healthy physical system, then all the organs, liver, heart, and the systems like the parasympathetic and sympathetic nerve systems, for instance, the vagus nerve, and all these, they have very distinct functions, not keyed down or low down functions, but very healthy, distinct, and also different function from each other. And then, but they all serve the common good of the body. And this idea of coherence is translated also into communities, when there are distinct individuals with distinct functions, distinct even views, you know, all these things which individuality brings with it. But they all serve a common good. Or for instance, in our movement, we all surround Srila Prabhupada in a worshipful attitude. At that time, the society is most, or the community is most healthy. If everyone is on the same, you know, is tuned down in his or her individuality, it will work for some time, but then it will explode with various problematic things, because it's not natural for us. So yes, I always appreciated this community for its diversified membership and its ability to hold everyone together, to welcome everyone, to engage everyone, and to serve Prabhupada together. It's a very nice, and it is very fresh and very good. Of course, you might say, oh Maharaj, you're too kind. If you would know the politics going on in Ramanreti, you would not speak like this. And that's part of the human nature, that what to do, you know. But yes, good. And a second, more personal thing is, I would like to, I was thinking, I'm visiting you after four years, there was a lockdown in between, and then we did not, there was no time to visit. So, you know, when someone visits a community after 4 long years, he will think before what he will say. Is this natural or unnatural? He will think, what are my messages? What can I give these devotees? Some of them are my superior god brothers and god sisters, much more accomplished in their spiritual life. What can I really share that is of meaning? They know already the philosophy. Most probably they have an overdose of undigested philosophical points. What can I add of value? And I was thinking about a subject matter. My whole visit I tried to put under one motto, poetically it is expressed as trying to connect with you. What is behind this poetic title is the need for a devotee to have a real experienced, let us say, a real relationship with Radha and Krishna, his worshipful deities, with a life of dynamic exchange between the worshipper and then between the Lord to the worshipper is taking place. No? So trying to connect with you is an attempt to serve you. We will have, I'm a little bit, I don't know my entire schedule at this particular moment. I've written it down some in where I stay. But yes, there will be, I know there's this lecture, then there is tomorrow maybe a lecture, then there is a Sunday lecture, three lectures, and then there is workshops on the Holy Name with new materials, which those who are familiar with old retreats it's different, it's new things. Good.
This evening also.
This evening also. This evening is, this evening is, well, oh, this evening is Holy Festival. Holy Festival in the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna is very, very important. Holy Festival is the evening. We don't throw colors, we just listen to the colors being thrown. But there's a lot of treasures in there. Good. What do we do? We have limited time, I know. Let's just do something. Jaya Radha, everyone. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Maybe suggest that in the kirtan you were just going before Radha Shyam Sundar in your mind's eye, and you express what is there within you. You address them through the holy name with your complete you, how you are at the moment. This will be very good if you do this kirtan in a devotional connection with the Lord whose name you are calling out, or how is the English word, petitioning, or telling him something, express at least something. Yes. So we will sing. Just now, everybody, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Hare Rama, Hare Hare
Hare Hare
Shila Prabhupada ki
jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Which verse, Prabhu? Prabhu, the verse, number.
I'm sorry, I don't. I have the verse number. I forgot it. Two, what? Two, yeah, I can't see so long. Far distance. 2249. I prepared 229, but we missed the 2 here. 2229. Anyways, I will. I will think about it. This even fits better. It's about this. Yeah.
Grahena gandham rasane vairasam.
Grahena gandham
Vasameva Vairasam
Rupam Cha Drishta Shashanam Tava Chaiva
Rupam Cha Drishta Shashanam Tava Chaiva
Srotrena Cha Patta Namogo Nattam
Srotrena Cha Veja Prāṇena chakuti mupaiti yogi.
Can we have a Vaishnavi also chant, please, if possible? Prāṇena gandham. Rasam, palate, rupam, forms, cha, also, drishya, by vision, svasanam, contact, tvacha, touch, eva, as it were, shrotrena, by vibration of the ear. Cha, also. Upedya, by achieving. Nabhagunatvam,
identification of Isa.
Pranena,
by sense organs.
Cha, also. Akutim, material activities. Upaiti, attains. Yogi, the devotee. Translation. The devotee thus surpasses the subtle objects of different senses, like aroma by smelling, the palate by tasting, vision by seeing, forms, touch by contacting, the vibrations of the ear by ethereal identification, and the sense organs by material activities. Purport. Beyond the sky, there are subtle coverings resembling the elementary coverings of the universe. The gross coverings are a development of partial ingredients of the subtle causes. So the yogi or devotee, along with liquidation of the gross elements, relinquishes the subtle causes like aroma by smelling. The pure spiritual spark, the living entity, thus becomes completely cleansed of all material contamination to become eligible for entrance into the kingdom of God. Please join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Samiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachayine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ascatyade Shatayine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadaya Shri Vasadi Gaurabhaktam
Govinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
What we hear about in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam and in today's verse is a process called Bhuta Shuddhi, that is the gradual relinquishing of one's material entanglement. We hear in this section of the Bhagavatam the yogic way, which is very, very scientific. Tomorrow in our little seminar we will hear about becoming cleansed of material contaminations from the devotional perspective. We will hear of the Buddha Shuddhi of the Vaishnavas, in other words, embedded. But cleansing of material contaminations is required on all paths. It cannot be done, the path of spiritual elevation, without this purification from the material influences. We all have come for this purpose together. We are here as a result of a little stirring in our hearts, very small in the beginning, to take up a genuine spiritual path, and as we were directed by the Lord in the heart to Srila Prabhupada and this Gaudiya Vaishnavism, this stirring, this initial stirring, found answers, you know. We were, what is the path? What is the goal? How do I reach there? There were many answers at that time. Now, the usual journey of a spiritualist, and those in our movement are no exception, is that they become very enthusiastic. It's described by Vishwanath as an initial enthusiasm, because their search has actually been they say, I found it. You can maybe go to the archive of videos where young devotees are interviewed or expressing themselves. I saw the young devotees in the Matchless Gift movie. They have a glimmering in the eye, which for older devotees looks a little suspicious. You know, it's an initial enthusiasm. It's not yet so mature, maybe, but and they speak with a tremendous amount of conviction, and so on. But then, a little further down the road, the usual trajectory of the spiritual quest is that you may have tried to leave the world, but the world has not left you. In other words, it's in you, it's in your genetic codex, it's in your neuro whatever wiring up there, in your habits, in your perception even, especially if you stumble over aparat and the spiritual things look material all of a sudden for you. So often a dryness, a feeling of incompleteness and incompetence, and also diminishing of taste is there after this utsaha mahi. you have heard many lectures, you know, at Madhurya Kadambini, how Vishwanatha analyzes this. No? This is a very, very, very common. The usual tip now by the preachers is try harder. You must be doing something wrong here. You have not understood. Try harder, do more sadhana. Go to a holy name retreat by Mahatma Prabhu. You know, just elevate your practice in terms of quality, quantity, and also take on some sacrifices, some difficulty. Take on more responsibilities. That might help you. So, here, within the same frame of thought, a tip is given to the devotee who started, or the spiritualist, who started on his initial quest but has not yet reached it. Other advices are, there are very subtle philosophical points we can discuss and so on. It's within the same framework. So the devotee goes, who tried with his initial enthusiasm and who failed to reach the purification of the heart, goes back with a package of inspirational and well-attended advices to try harder, do more quality and quantity thing. But even then, for many on the path, it doesn't work. So at this stage comes the second stage. A devotee will think, despite my best efforts, I was not successful to come to my cherished level of Krishna consciousness. And he has two choices. One is, relatively few devotees take this road, and the other is for the more devotees take this road. Let's first deal with the first choice and then with the second, which will make you maybe blush because you feel caught. The first thing, when someone tried a spiritual path and he is not effective, I call it, in my own German way, rage against God. I called you. You did not answer. I gave my best effort. You could also translate this into rage against the movement. One becomes bitter, disappointed. One becomes highly critical and now is internet there. There is very, very effective means to express disappointment and so on. That's relatively few do this. A greater number consists of those who say, I tried my best, but it didn't work for me. Let's make some compromises now. Let's find a more real expression of my spirituality. All of a sudden, there are many new introductions in the homes of the devotee. Netflix is one. I don't know if it's also in America available. It is in Europe available. There are, you know, getting up 4 o'clock. This is an inhuman time, you know. And one makes certain compromises in his eating habits, in his the forms of entertainment which one allows in, and so on. And because we are reasonable people, and the modern psychology is, you always have to be right in what you do, so that we have a philosophy about it. I don't need to explain it, I think. Yes, this is the second level. Then comes the third level. we feel, especially as we grow older, that same stirring in the soul, that initial spark that sent us to the spiritual quest. And in a very humble way, we may say, I don't know how, but I just want to be closer to Krishna. How? Maybe His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj knows, and we will look for advice. Maybe a pilgrimage to Vrindavan will help and might rekindle something. Or maybe I should go to the Radha Damodar temple where everything started in Vrindavan, to Srila Prabhupada's rooms. It is reported by many that Srila Prabhupada speaks to the devotees there. In Vrindavan, two places, Prabhupada's Samadhi Mandir, when there's not the influx of so many pilgrims, if you have a peaceful time, and Radha Damodar temple. Devotees have at least reported that Srila Prabhupada has given them an inspiration how to move on. So the first step is in spiritual life, I can do it. The second step is I don't want to do it any longer. And the third step is, I don't know how, but I want to be with Krishna. I want to somehow feel close to Him. I want to think during the day of Him. I want to feel that my heart is melted so that I sing during the day to Him, and so on. That happens when, after, on the spiritual path, our heart is a little purified, actually. In every one of us, there is a longing that the world cannot fulfill. And when you attain that, you have something which the world can never take away from you, even at the time of death, says Krishna in the sixth chapter. No? The devotee remains stabilized in his happy Krishna consciousness. When Krishna talks about this, this eternal promise of the bhakti process, to Uddhava he says, O learned Uddhava, those who fix their consciousness on me, giving up all material desires, share with me a happiness that cannot possibly be experienced by those engaged in sense gratification. In fact, this is a few lines later, those whose mind is completely satisfied in me find only happiness wherever they go. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives one of his surprising examples. He says, these devotees are like rich merchants. Wherever they go, they create an atmosphere of happiness. Consider a rich merchant. He's on a merchant expedition. He wants to sell his goods. So even if he's in the desert, he will have a first-class tent with coolers. Fans, devotees, not devotees, people fan him, and he has sufficient amount of wealth with him, so he can buy cucumbers or whatever, cooling is good, and it has a nice atmosphere. You see this in some of the wealthy sannyasis of our movement. Wherever you go, well, the room smells very nicely, fragrant, and they are, yes, this example has been supplied to us. So a devotee, wherever he is, when he has attained the goal of his quest, he becomes so surrendered, so surrendered and so content also, because he has something in his grasp which the world cannot give him, but also not take away from him. And in this way, this is the goal. But my question is it possible for all of us? Is it possible? I would like to give today an answer by defining for you, I found this, what is Sampradaya, an authorized line of teachings, will do for you. It is possible to establish a relationship to Krishna, but our love will be tested. in order to arrive at that relationship with Krishna, we go to an authorized sampradaya, a line of exalted, self-realized masters, spiritual masters, I wanted to say. And this is what the sampradaya does for you. And sampradaya, first qualification is it embodies the deepest spiritual principles. And this means the sampradaya is not narrow-minded. it talks about the deepest spiritual principles. The second function of the sampradaya is when you learn, it protects the student from negative thoughts. Also these thoughts that I can't do it, and I'm bitter, and so on. When you remain connected, like I think that's why Mother Mukya read to us today this endearing thing where Prabhupada was asked, why do you suffer the illness? And he said, I did one sin. I think you remember what he said. And it's endearing to hear our spiritual master. He didn't do a sin, by the way, for the latecomers. He said he took too many disciples. Third, a sampradaya carries the spiritual potency, and it is there in the guru parampara. When you approach a bona fide member of a genuine sampradaya, you go and you touch an electric powerhouse, electric line. In English you would say a live wire. A live wire, you touch that. The fourth quality is it acts like a link between jiva and God. And fifth, it ultimately brings about a transformation of the citta, of the finest strata of our subtle body. It changes you. You become different. You think differently also, and you perceive things differently. So these are the promises of a bona fide sampradaya. It embodies and teaches the deepest spiritual principles. It can protect you at any time when you approach it and learn from negative thoughts. It carries spiritual potency, and when you connect with it, yes, you can be empowered. That is perhaps the secret of our initial phase in our movement. If you see the early movements, early movies, this looked like Vikings. Don't know if you know what is Vikings. I heard they came to America as well. They are my ancestors. Yes, I can trace my family line back to direct line of Viking people. I'm a barbarian, proper barbarian. Yes, and but we had faith in Srila Prabhupada. Very simple faith, or simple is in English not a good word always, uncomplicated and unquestioned faith, unquestioned faith. No? So then there was spiritual potency. It acts like a link between the jiva and God, and ultimately brings about a transformation. I would now like to use the remaining part of my time for this lecture to give you a little, tell you my favorite story at the moment. Well, there are many favorite stories, but this is one of them. But this one is about the spiritual journey, where we can really observe all this, what we have heard so far. There was once a very old Brahmin, he set out for the sacred place Bararikashrama. Who of you has visited Bararikashrama? May I just see? Rohini Nandan has gone. In the back, there is. Yeah, I do not know your good name, Prabhu, but I see you. No Mataji, Pran Govinda has seen. No Mataji has seen. No. It said if you want to. Here is one. Yes. If you want to visit God in this world, go to Bararikashrama. There is such a statement. Even Nanda Baba and the Brijbasis, they wanted to go to Bararikashrama because it's a must that any person who is spiritually minded in this context of our Vedic tradition goes one time in the life to Bararikashrama. It's usually in the late, you know, when they are old. So even Nanda Maharaj said it was so endearing. They were preparing to go to, and they were all, you know, getting this stiff, this warm jackets extra, and Mother Yashoda cooked extra warming rotis, you know. There's these rotis which are for the winter, they are warming. And Krishna asked, where are you going? You are also going. We are going to Bararikashrama. And then Krishna, thinking that his own people should not go out of Braj, he said to, he walked with a contingent of Brajbasis. It's a little discretion, but it's so sweet. And after one or two days, Nanda Baba asked, Gopal, you are only talking. There is no Bararikashrama. We see no hilly. It's not getting hilly and so on. You said Bararikashrama is in Braj. But we don't see any signs of mountains or anything. You are maybe only talking, Gopal? So at that time, Krishna called Ekanamsa, the Yoga Maya, said, Yoga Maya, my father doubts that there is Bararikashrama in Braj. And then Yoga Maya said, smile, said, no, there's no doubt here, everything is here, all holy places. And she manifested a beautiful Bararikashrama in Braj with the deities. Huh? Naranarayan rishis are there, and Uddhava is also there. Please go. It is, if you want to see the original Braj, how nice it is, how fertile it is, how untouched the nature is, you please go to Bararikashrama. You anyways have to go one time in your life. So there was this old Brahmana who set out for Bararikashrama in the Himalayas with the eager desire to have the darshan of the deity of Narayan before his death. Now the temple in Bararikashrama closes from September onwards for six months. I think you have this AC on. Is this true? This kills any civilized human being. Sorry. I can feel it immediately. I immediately think of the graveyard when the AC goes on, and the inscription on my tomb. You know. So he knew it would close the temple in September. He was very old, he was very weak. He moved forwards with ardor. And pilgrims came on their way back. They had the darshan, they were coming down the mountain, and they said, "Old man, hurry up, speed up." And he tried his very best. And then finally, he reached the staircase to the temple, the steps. And he finally, he saw the door was still open. He was crawling on his hands and knees for the last stretch of the journey. And just as he arrived at the door, the raval, that is the priest, they are now Mudri Brahmans, was closing the door on him. He said, "Don't do this. I'm at the fag end of my life. I came all this way from my home village to see. I just quickly go in and quickly go out, and then I can die." But the priest said, "Now this is the time when we close the temple, and you come back after half a year." So the Brahman said, "Half a year? Look at me. I have one more month maybe to live." So then and he grabbed the feet of the priest and cried and said, no, please allow me." But this priest was a Vaidhi Bhakta. He believed only in rules and regulations. That was the only way for him to approach God. He said, "God has not the obligation to wait for us. We wait for God. Is this clear?" And he slammed the door closed. The Brahmana felt crestfallen. He somehow managed to go down the steps of this staircase, and he had tried. He had put everything in his life. He had tried to worship the Lord. He had shilas at home, and he was regular in his duty. But now, the Lord had closed. Just the second he arrived, the door. The Lord could have given him strength to move a second faster, you know, but no. And then the second stage came, rage against God. The Brahmana said, "I thought the Lord is compassionate. I read this. He's not. I thought the devotees of the Lord are kind. They are cruel. All my life I invested in a lie." Rage against God. Rage against a spiritual culture. This doesn't work. And he just turned around. He got strength. Rage gives strength. It's an emotion. And he ran towards the Alakananda Ganga to take his life. He wanted to jump inside and commit suicide. So as he was approaching the Ganga, he heard a gallop. Gallop means fast horse approaching. And there was a local person on the horse, and he said, wait, where are you going? Brahmana looked around. It was a person from the village. I think the name is Bhotia. These are Bhotia people. Often they come from Tibet and so on. He said, young man, you don't know. I invested my life in a lie. I'm ending this useless life. Maybe I will be more intelligent in the next life. Why? He closed the door on me. He closed the door on me. Holy. Two he's the Brahmana said. The Lord and his devotee. Why? No, I have to wait 6 more months and I can't. I'm out. You are hard in hearing, said the young man. Tomorrow is Darshan. You come with me. I know a good cave, warm, very nice. You come with me. So the Brahmin, what? Hard in hearing? Could be. I'm a little old. Maybe I'm hard in hearing. So he followed the young man to a cave. The young man said, let's play chess so that we can get the night over. The Brahmin said, I'm a Brahmin, I don't play chess. Little chess is good for you to divert your mind. So I show you. So they played chess the whole night, and the Brahmin always won. So in the morning, the young man took him, let's go to Tapakun, take a snan, a bath, and that it's hot kun. When you enter there, you feel like a sabji. It's so hot, like a sabji entering a pot, but it's very good. And there are 1 million Indians there, no problem, and that kund, and no problem. It is very, very personal. It's very, very beautiful there in that kund. So then the snan was taken, the Brahmana put his cloth on, and he went up the stairs, and he met the rabbi, the priest, and the priest greeted him. He recognized him. Welcome back. See, I said, you come back after 6 months, and you do you take your darshan then. I feel relieved that you're still with us. After. You said 6 months? 6 months? No, I only spent one night here. No, said the I know better, I know. You're maybe a little elderly now. I closed the door, I went down to the villages down where the snowfall is not so. And I came back after the time is over. It takes 6 months. But, young man, the Brahmin said, the young man was not there any longer. So he walked up the stairs. But dear devotees, he wanted to be close to the Lord. He walked up the stairs. He came into the temple. He had his darshan, and then for just a moment he saw there was the face of the young man on the altar. The Lord was there on the altar. It was him who had intervened in the last minute. So the Brahmana came into an ecstatic state of consciousness. He was overwhelmed with the sattvika bhavas. He felt so much love in his heart. He somehow managed to get out of the temple. He felt that my time has come, and on the threshold of the temple, you know, that same place where the door had been closed the first time, because his love needed to be tested, he needed to be purified. He laid down and chanting Narayan, Narayan, he's a devotee of Narayan. He saw a Viman coming, and that Viman, you know, spaceship, this transcendental spaceship, came, and the Vishnu Dutas took him on the carrier and brought him back to where he wanted to go, where his goal was. His quest had the fulfillment. With this little story, I want you to just join me. Bhatri Vishal ki
jai!
Right, Hare Krishna. Thank you. But you are a little bit asleep. Bhatri Vishal ki
jai!
Yeah, oh yes, Hare Krishna. Thank you. my dear devotees, in tomorrow's lecture, I would like to highlight, this will only make sense when you have the second part also, highlight what it is that you might have overlooked on your spiritual journey. Might, I do not know you so intimately or confidentially. There is something embedded in this story that needs to a little unpacking. It's that part where the Lord appeared to him, but he could not recognize him, yet he developed a relationship, and you know, they played together chess. So there is something which I feel so strongly about that I thought, let me spend the ticket to come to Alachua, because it's worthwhile to share this. It's so wonderful, which I feel on our spiritual quest has to be given attention. And I can tell already what it is. I don't want to leave you with an absolute cliffhanger, only a partial cliffhanger. what it is if you perform your devotional service as you are now, not yet enlightened, maybe, perhaps some of you, and if you add a very important and often overlooked ingredient, it is all Prabhupada, don't worry, it is not crazy speculation, then you will experience on the present level Krishna's kindness every day. I think so. It has to do with Buddha Shuddhi, and it has to do with things. But let me not tell things partially, because it doesn't make sense when I tell them now. So I request you to come. This was only the seat-warming lecture. Now, tomorrow you will find here in Alachua we don't want warm seats, we want cold seats or cool seats. you will find, we can go now. Our spiritual journey will be successful. This is Prabhupada's promise. He is an acharya of a bona fide sampradaya. his method makes this final transformation possible. We are protected by his teachings from disappointments and so on and so forth. And we need to just find out how it could work for us. I thank you very much. I think I have to end. Somehow 9 o'clock is the time, right? Good. Krishna. Should we end? Prabhupada? Maybe we take a few questions just so that we can connect as speaker and audience a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I have so many notes on your class. It's so wonderful. Thank you for coming and illuminating our hearts.
You say this to every... You are a wonderful devotee. You see this.
No, Maharaj, we really love you. Honestly, I don't say that to everyone, but we do love you.
Yes, please.
Maharaj, I was just curious. In the beginning, you said while you are singing the second part on Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and then in interval you say something to the Lord, express what you want to say. So my question is, what is the appropriate things to say, or what would you share what you say?
When you read, thank you very much. We have acoustically heard the question. Yes? Appropriate thing to share is two things. First, we find the acharyas giving many hidden meanings in the of the Maha Mantra. In this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, what Prabhupada said, O Radhe, O Krishna, please engage me in your devotional service. He said it in many ways. He said, I'm embarrassed by the service of Maya. I'm serving Maya all the time. And I'm embarrassed. It's not good. Please now engage me in your service. He said it also in a very, very, very nice, short way. Please accept me. I once broke out with my parents. I still remember I was very bad when I joined Krishna consciousness in relationship to my parents, because they had tried to stop me from joining, and my ego was very upset, and I didn't speak to them for 10 years. But they loved me very much. So after 10 years, one devotee said, what's with your parents? He said, that's not good. My parents have given us the human form of life. Prabhupada, Anat, so much the mother of Brahmananda, that in his initiation, he said to Brahmananda, he should bow down to his mother. Imagine that New York mother and the sun. I mean, the sun was optically very voluminous, you know. Going down. Poor. What are you doing? So, honoring, it's very important principle. And so I remember he talked to me and it made sense, and I also felt, my mother always cooked for me, and when I was so bored with school and I couldn't go on, she would prepare special pudding for me, wackel pudding, you know, it was shaking. And I just went to the door. I still remember I went to the door at a time when I knew they would be there, and I knocked at the door, and I then the door opened, and my father was on the door, and he looked as if, 50,000 emotions went through his heart at the same time. And he couldn't speak. And my father is a warlord in the Nazi army. He can speak, you know, but he... And I just said, please accept me. I was a little foolish, you know. Come on in. We must talk. He said. He got his thing. So I think sometimes like this, I'm standing before Krishna's door. Please accept me. I was very bad, very forgetful. This and then you can go as deep as you want. There are many translations you can find in books like The Art of Chanting by Mahaditi Maharaj, Seven Acharyas and their meanings, going into even Leela, meditations, etc. But that is up to how you feel comfortable. And then also, and this is something where I might I want to shake you a little, express something personal to Krishna. You know, a tradition is not meant to say your words for you. Yes, we approach with the tradition, the Lord, with the philosophy, with a certain culture, the things we do. So many things are there. But it is not meant to take your words out of your heart. And you have to say your words also. And so on. It is a personal relationship. So authorized translations, or not, they are not translations, they are artha, you know, the deep meanings of the mantra, and then personalized expression.
Thank you. That was wonderful.
Hare Krishna. Yes. Yamara Kishori is there, I see.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Yamara Kishori.
So you were sharing about these different stages of approaching Krishna, and one of them is rage, feeling rage toward God. And then you were sharing the story of the Brahmana who was feeling so angry and disillusioned that he was going to commit suicide. So I was curious, in that pastime, Krishna came and intervened, but if Krishna hadn't come, is there a way that he could have dovetailed that rage in a more productive way instead of ending his life?
In the yogic tradition, which is quoted by also all kinds of, you know, Patanjali has a template for personal transformation, and there are some things which are very, very good for all types of practitioners, including the bhaktas. And this is pratipaksha bhava. It is Patanjali says, when one is harassed by negative thoughts, like in this case, great disappointment, and then another one was he wanted to commit violence on his self-violence. When one is harassed by negative thoughts, one should replace them with positive ones. For that, I mean, I always ask what is the need behind my being frustrated or angry or anything, and I go to that need and fulfill it in another way. Patanjali says, replace it with positive thoughts, but how to do that? I think you go to the underlying patterns which are informing this immature emotion and decipher, discover them and connect with that. I also do things when I'm very disappointed, or when I see I'm, you know, in COVID, I don't know if you also like this. I have developed a lockdown belly, you know, no movement, no traveling, so the lockdown belly is also there. And I thought, well, that's not your natural constitution. You have a certain body, and then when you are like this, then you are healthy. So I thought, well, what is behind eating more than necessary? It is an emotional craving which is there, which may not have been there, I don't know, because I'm not interacting. I'm interacting only on this boring Zoom, you know, where you can feel only 10% of a human being on the other side. You know, so then I thought, soon I will travel, then I will interact with real people, then I don't need to, you know, then I'm... In other words, find out what is behind what you conceive of as negative, you know. Shyamala Kishori. Yes, I know these psychological techniques a little bit. But I'm getting old and I think I just want to chant with love in my heart. That changes everything. But yes, there are these techniques which sometimes work, sometimes they don't work. Techniques don't always work. Chanting always works. Hare Krishna. I thank you very much. The time is also there. It is a genuine pleasure to be here. And I hope to see you a few more times. Today at 6 o'clock, Lila Katha with Madhava is also there. We will share Madhava. I will request Madhava to sing, and I will say something also about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sisi Gaura Nitai ki, Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Gaura.
Thank you.
Thank you.